Well, hey, everyone, I'm Pastor Judd Wilhite, and I want to thank you for joining us today. You know, Central's a place where it's okay to not be okay, and we are so glad that you're here. I hope you enjoy this message.
All right. Well, glad you're here with us this weekend. I want to start with a question today. When you look in the mirror, what do you see? I mean, when I look in the mirror first thing in the morning, it's scary. It's like the zombie apocalypse. You know what I'm saying? Like, bags under the eyes, hair crazy, all of that. Need caffeine, right? You know, we'll be able to process that. Sometimes when I look in the mirror, you know, I'm just doing a little check, making sure I don't have food on myself. There's no food in my teeth. I'm kind of making sure, like, there's no, like, stray hair that grew out of my eyebrow 2 inches last night. This stuff happens. Anybody ever had, like, a crazy hair? Just, like, one time I had one just grow out of my forehead. Like, what? I mean, like, straight out. Like, I used to wonder, like how older men would not notice that there's a gray hair sticking an inch out of their nose. And then I realized it grew last night. Like, bro, you got to be on it. You got to check. You got to be vigilant. The older you get, guys, come on, you got to watch it, because that stuff's coming out of your ears. It's coming out of your nose. It's just not coming out of your head anymore. So anyway, sometimes when I look in the mirror, I'm just doing a little check, you know, make sure everything's okay, nose check, teeth check, all of that. But sometimes when I look in the mirror, I'm actually not thinking about what I'm just seeing. I've got internal perceptions about myself that I am carrying through into what I'm seeing. Anybody with me? And sometimes I look in the mirror and I see my past, my baggage, my failure. I think, man, Judd, you got to get it together. Lately, I've been looking in the mirror and thinking, I'm behind. This time of year, I looked in my mirror this week, and I told myself, breathe. Just breathe. Sometimes I look in the mirror, and I think I'm not enough. I'm not talented enough. I'm not smart enough. I'm not spiritual enough. Sometimes I look in the mirror, and I think I'm guilty. I'm unworthy. I'm ugly. I think we all know what it is to look in the mirror and see things that we don't like about ourselves. I mean, there are a few people that look in the mirror and they think, I'm just awesome. And if that's one of you, well, God bless you. But the rest of us look in the mirror and are like, is that a gray hair? Am I showing my age? Is that a new wrinkle? If you're not there yet, you will be. I want to suggest to you today that a Christmas bonus that we can all experience is looking in the mirror and not just seeing what we don't like about ourselves, not just seeing our past or our baggage, but looking in the mirror and seeing our blessing, seeing ourselves biblically, seeing ourselves the way God actually says He sees us. And it's a transformative thing in our lives. Look at this, Ephesians chapter 1, beginning in verse 3, Paul writes the longest sentence in the original language of the Greek New Testament of the Bible. Now, this is a 202-word sentence. Can you imagine writing a 202-word sentence? This is what Paul does, but it's like this explosion of praise. It's like he just has this kind of like streamlined sense of just flowing out of consciousness, just flowing out on paper, giving praise to God for 202 words, no period. Here's what he says. He starts it this way. Help me out when we get to the red word. He says, all praise to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual what? Blessing. You see that? Every spiritual blessing in the heavenly realms because we are united with Christ. Turn to the person next to you and say, I'm blessed. You are blessed with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly realms. Now, somebody right now is thinking, okay, that's cool, but like, I want the blessing in the earthly realm, you know, like what, you know, like sometimes we aren't sure what to do with this whole idea of spiritual blessings. In fact, if you think about it like this, We often see material blessings as spiritual blessings as very different things. When it comes to material blessings, these are the things that we often pray for, you know, a place to live, a car to drive, a job to work at, you know, like concrete material things in our lives. And then when we talk about spiritual blessings, it's sort of like this empty cloud, like floating around like, I'm not sure what that is, but can I get some of this over here? Because we sort of see material blessings and spiritual blessings like separate. But could I suggest to you today that there is a more complete way to see this? And that is like this next slide right here, where you realize that spiritual blessings actually encompass material blessings. And Paul's making a case here that what we really need in our lives, more than material blessings, are spiritual blessings. Because spiritual blessings give meaning to all the material blessings God may bring into our lives. So you have a house and or an apartment, and you're grateful for a place to live, and you're thankful for that. But what happens in your house or your apartment, the hospitality you show, the joy you show, the prayers that happen there, the ministry that happens there of love and kindness and goodness to other people, all of that, those are actually spiritual blessings. And it is spiritual blessings that will allow you to enjoy and be grateful for the material blessing of the house or the apartment you live in. Right? If you have wealth and money, those are material blessings, but it is spiritual blessing that allows you to find a sense of contentment, a sense of generosity, and a sense of safety and security in your life, because money alone won't get you that. Those are spiritual blessings. And so what Paul's going to challenge us with is to realize you actually have every spiritual blessing now as a follower of Jesus Christ. And because you do, that can give meaning to every material blessing God brings into your life. So the spiritual blessings are more important and give meaning to the material blessings that God can also bring into our lives. Now, these blessings he's going to talk about are for followers of Jesus Christ. He's not writing in the letter of Ephesians to people who have not yet crossed the line of faith. These aren't blessings for everyone. These are blessings for believers. And so maybe you're not yet a believer, and that's okay, but I want you to understand, when you become a believer, these blessings become yours. These are the blessings of a believer's life. And one of the things Paul's going to challenge us with is to begin to see ourselves through our blessing and not through our baggage. So one of the first things that we see in Ephesians chapter 1 is Paul will basically challenge us to begin to see ourselves as one who is loved by God. See yourself as one who is loved by God. So our dog Stella this week, she had a rough week. We took her in and we got the surgery. You know, she got spayed this week. And I took her in the morning, and so I got her harness out and all of that. And she was so excited. She like hops around. She's like, we're going on a trip. Dad's taking me out. It's going to be epic. We're going to go walk. We're going to sniff stuff. I'm going to eat stuff. It's going to be great. And then like she gets in her harness. We get in the car, and then we get out at the vet's office. And as soon as we walk in, she starts shaking, literally shaking in my arms. She's like, oh, this isn't cool. This isn't cool. This isn't a walk. This is no good. And so we wait. She's like shivering, and they take her back. It reminded me of this Far Side cartoon I saw a long, long time ago. Some of you may have seen this. It says, you got this dog with his owner leaving, and the dog says to the other dog across the fence, ha-ha, Biff, guess what? After we go to the drugstore and the post office, I'm going to the vet to get tutored. You're going to the vet for something else, bro. You're in for a surprise. Anyway, our dog Stella came home after the surgery, and she's all drugged up. And here's what's interesting, man. She's like all warm to my wife, Lori, and my son, Ethan. But the first 24 hours, like, she's blaming me for what happened. And every time she looked at me, she was like, look what you did to me. Here's a picture just so you see this pathetic face. Look what you did to me. She's wearing the cone of shame. Now, if our dog just looked at the circumstances of this week, she would not feel very loved, right? If she just looked at what happened to her this week, she would not feel very loved. But the truth is, we all love her. We're crazy about her. We just see a higher perspective. We understand things that she doesn't understand. We have a perception of things that she can't possibly grasp, and I can't even explain it to her in a way that she can comprehend. She just has to trust me that I love her, even though her circumstance right now might say a whole lot of things other than love. And I think the same is true with God. Sometimes we look around our lives and we don't always see ourselves in circumstances that cause us to feel loved. Certainly when you look at the horrific things that happened last week, it doesn't always feel very much like love. Or if that's God's idea of love, I don't want any of that, right? It's crazy. And we look at tragedy and heartbreak and difficulty, but we've also got to step back enough to realize we don't have the whole perspective. God understands things that we can't even comprehend. He has a picture in mind that we can't even ultimately see. And the Bible tells us no matter what our circumstances, no matter what we're going through, no matter how hard things are or tragic things are, no matter how much it seems like evil is getting the upper hand, the Bible says God loves you. And he not only loves you, he loves you from the foundations of the earth. And he has a plan and a purpose even when we can't understand it. Ephesians chapter 1, look at what Paul says in the very next sentence, beginning of verse 4. He says, long what? Help me out. Long before, you see that? Before he laid down earth's foundations, he had us in mind, had settled on us as the focus of his love, to be made whole and holy by his love. I mean, think about that. Long before. Long before creation. And the idea, I think, from the letter of Ephesians in context is not that God just settled on people to love, but that he settled on you specifically as an object of his love. Long before you were created. Paul's saying that God loved you before he ever created the earth, before he ever engaged in creation. You were the object and focus of his love. Listen, he loved you long before your failures and your heartbreaks, long before you made mistakes, long before you may have failed, long before you may have sinned, long before you may have lost your cool as a parent, long before you may have missed the grade, long before you may have not made the team, or long before you maybe didn't get the job, long before you gave into that destructive habit, long before you said things you would regret, long before you faced loss or before you faced tragedy, long before he laid the earth's foundations, he loved you. You say, I can't see it. Well, it's not based on our circumstances. It's based on our faith. And our faith, according to God's word, teaches that God loved us long before. Our circumstances actually don't tell the whole story. See, God loved us long before, which means that you don't have to be any better looking. You don't have to be any thinner. You don't have to wear different clothes. You don't have to achieve one more thing in your career. You don't have to stack any more savings or accomplish another thing or get another degree to matter. You're an incredible spiritual being because that's how God created you. And when you look in the mirror, you are loved by God. See yourself through your blessing and not through your baggage. Not only are you loved by God when you look in the mirror, but Ephesians chapter 1 is going to tell us that we're also chosen by God. We are chosen by God. Now, any fans of the show The Bachelor? Any Bachelor Nation people? It's okay, you're church, but it's all right. You can admit it. It's okay. No judgment. Not many hands, but I heard some. You know what I'm? You know who you are. So my wife has tracked with The Bachelor all these seasons. There's like 900 seasons. How is this show still going? I don't know. Anyway, I walk through the living room and I don't watch The Bachelor. Okay, I'm not surrendering my man card. Just so we're all clear, I do not watch this. But it's on. I'm a victim. I walked through the living room a couple weeks ago, and it's the finale of The Golden Bachelor. I don't know if you know this, but on the 900th season of The Bachelor, they decided we're going to shake it up, and we're going to put senior citizens in the mix. And now we're going to let them date one another. And so that's the Golden Bachelor. Now, I'm all for everybody finding love. I don't care what age you're at. Good for you. God bless you. You know, like, but this guy, Gary, you know, that every time I'd walk through and see him, I'm like, that guy kind of gives me the heebie-jeebies, man. Anyway, like, I don't know. But it's the finale, and he's proposing now to the girl, and she's standing there, and they've probably known each other a week, I don't know, and, you know, now they're going to get married. Like, you're 70-something, bro. Did you not learn anything? But anyway, sorry. I digress. Jerry says to her, she's poured her heart out to him. She's standing there waiting to be proposed to, and he says, you're not the right person for me to live with. And I'm like, I knew I didn't like that guy. And she's processing. You can see, like, she's poured her whole heart out. She's like, okay. You know, she's processing this rejection. And then I think after a very long time, like, Gary, man, you need some better memory meds. You know, like, it took him a while. He came around, and then he's like, you're the person that I can't live without. Exactly. I saw this. And I'm like, wow. And now she's elated. I'm like, I'm not sure I would forgive what just happened so quickly. But she's just so thrilled to be chosen. And it was like in this one moment, we saw the tension, right? The tension was the emotion of rejection, which is one of the greatest emotions you can experience in your life. I mean, let's be real. A lot of us, the rejection in our childhood, maybe rejection from parents or siblings or others, man, we're trying to fight and overcome that the rest of our lives. It impacts us so deeply. Or the joy of being chosen. And he actually had chosen her and then later said, oops, I got my words wrong. It's going to be an interesting marriage, which, by the way, happens in January, according to my wife, because the Golden Bachelor ain't playing, people. Anyway, don't know how much time we got left. Let's go. Just kidding. Just being snarky. You guys know me. I love the guy. God bless him. Ephesians chapter 1, beginning in verse 4. Look at this. Even before he made the world, God loved us and what? Chose us. You see that? God chose us in Christ to be holy and without fault in his eyes. And God didn't mess up his words. John 3:16, God so loved the world that he sent his one and only son that whosoever should believe in him would not perish but have everlasting life. Like, God loved us and he chose us way more than just will you accept this rose. He chose us to be his possession from the foundations of the world. If you're a believer in Jesus today, what the Bible's saying is you were chosen. That means that while you chose Jesus, before you chose Jesus, God chose you. What? Now, it's a mystery. Christians have been they've been arguing about this and trying to explain all the ins and outs of it for thousands of years. But here's what I would say, like I love the scholar who says this. He says, over the door of faith are the words, enter all who will believe. And you can choose to believe. It's your responsibility to believe. And you look at that sign over that door, and if you choose to believe in Jesus, if you choose to follow him, then you walk through that door. But when you walk through that door, when you turn around and look at it from the inside, it says chosen from the foundations of the world. How God could choose you and you choose him and those things not be irreconcilable, I don't know. That's above my pay grade. But the Bible consistently teaches that you and I, we follow Christ. It's our responsibility. But when we do it, it's because God first chose us from the foundations of the world. And the point isn't for us to debate all the ramifications of what that may or may not mean. It's not for us to walk around and be arrogant like, well, I was chosen. Too bad you weren't. The point is this, that we would be grateful and humbled, and thank God. I don't know why you would choose me. If I was you, I'd choose somebody else. There's a lot of other people you could choose. Better than me, smarter than me, better looking than me, more talented than me, have it together more than me. I don't know why you chose me, but I'm going to celebrate and give thanks and be grateful that you did. And so, Paul's saying, hey, when you look in the mirror, you're loved, you're chosen, and also you are forgiven. You are forgiven. Frank Warren, years ago, did this amazing experiment called Post Secret. And he took these postcards and handed them out all over the place, and he had people write down their secrets on these postcards. They could decorate the postcards however they wanted. They had to write a secret that was true, a secret they had never told anyone else, and then they had to mail it to him by snail mail, and they had to do it anonymously. And so he took these secrets, and he eventually published them and put them out there. But some of them were kind of funny, like look at this person, this Starbucks employee. I give decaf to customers who are rude to me. Come on, man. You better be nice to your barista. They'd be turning around like, yeah, you get the unleaded, you know. All right, look at this one. This person says, I trashed my parents' house to look like I had a party while they were out of town. Look at this. So my mom would think I had friends. Sad. All right, next one. People think I've stopped lying, but I've just gotten better at it. Come on, you know who you are. All right, here we go. I wish I were still innocent. I think we all understand that wish and understand that desire, and we all have our secrets. But the good news today is that we can be forgiven for that past, for that issue, for that thing that we wrestle with because of what Jesus has done. Look at how Paul continues, Ephesians chapter 1, beginning in verse 6. He says, so we praise God for the glorious grace he has poured out on us who belong to his dear son. He is so rich in kindness and grace that he what? That he purchased our freedom with the blood of his son and forgave our sins. He has showered his kindness on us along with all wisdom and understanding. Look at that. He's saying literally, God purchased our freedom. At Christmas, we don't just celebrate Jesus' birth. We celebrate his life, his death, his resurrection, all of it. Because through Jesus, God literally purchased our freedom so that we could be forgiven. I had a guy come to me. And he said, Judd, I've been praying for 10 years, every day basically, that God would forgive me for the same thing. And he said, you know, after 10 years, I don't feel forgiven. What do I do? I was like, you've prayed about the same thing every day for 10 years? He's like, basically every day. So I remember I put my hand on his shoulder, looked him in the eye, and I said, all right, as your pastor, this is what I'm telling you to do. Said, I want you to go read Psalm 51 in the Old Testament, which is David's psalm after he sinned and failed, where he cries out to God for forgiveness. I said, I want you to read that psalm, pray through it in your life, confess this completely and fully one more time. And then I want you to never ask forgiveness for this again in your life. And if you do, it's a lack of faith. He kind of took a step back. I could tell I sort of blew his mind. I said, listen, you keep trying to bring up something Jesus has already let go. The Bible says he purchased our freedom. He died for us. And through faith in him, we can forgive. Now, should we confess? Absolutely. When we sin, we should confess. It's important. It's a spiritual discipline. I confess when I sin, yes. But you don't need to keep bringing it up and up and up and up and keep trying to atone for it. Jesus already atoned for it on the cross. Listen. Don't pay for what Jesus already purchased. Some of you are trying to pay for what he already paid for. And it'll never be enough. Jesus paid the price. He secured our freedom. And so we can walk in his forgiveness. This week I was at my computer and this image popped up, just scrolling through images in my photo app. And yeah, I thought it was appropriate for this weekend. My wife took it, actually here at the church at the Stronger Conference. It says, objects in the mirror are stronger than they appear. And I want to suggest to you today that when you wake up and look in the mirror this week, the objects in the mirror in your life are stronger than they appear because you are loved and you are chosen and you are forgiven. You actually have every spiritual blessing. And that's more important than the material blessings, because the spiritual blessings will give meaning to all the other blessings in your life. It's the spiritual blessings that actually lead to all the other blessings that you really experience in your life. You're loved, you're chosen, you're forgiven. God has already moved in your life in a powerful way. And often the very things that we long for, the Bible says, we already have. They're available to us through faith if we will reach out to God and trust him and walk with him. Listen, some of you long for love, and Romans 5:5 says that God has given us the Holy Spirit to fill our hearts with his love. Maybe you long for peace, and Jesus says in John 14:27, I am leaving you with the gift, peace of mind and of heart. Maybe you search for joy, and Jesus says in John 15:11, I have told you these things so that your joy may be full. Yes, so that your joy will overflow. Maybe you need strength. Philippians 4:13 says, I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. Maybe you need power. 2 Peter 1:3 says, by his divine power, God has given us everything we need for living a godly life. Maybe you need guidance. So the Psalms 119 says, your word is a lamp to my feet and a guide to my path. Maybe you need help. Psalm 46:1, God is our refuge and strength, always ready to help in times of trouble. Maybe you have to make an impossible decision. James chapter 1, verse 5 says, if you need wisdom, ask our generous God and he will give it to you. Maybe you need courage. 2 Timothy chapter 1 verse 7 says, God has not given us a spirit of fear and timidity, but of power and of love and of self-discipline. Maybe you need a sense of hope. Jeremiah 29:11 says, for I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord, and they are plans for good and not for disaster, to give you a future and to give you hope. God has provided every spiritual blessing. You don't need a bonus from your employer to access this bonus. You already have it. It was purchased by Jesus, and by faith you can access it, and it doesn't cost you anything. In fact, money can't buy it, but it's more valuable than all the money in the world. Every spiritual blessing in the heavenly realms, because we're united with Christ. So when we see ourselves in the mirror, we got to realize God doesn't just look at us. He sees someone who is hidden in Christ, someone who is in the one that he loves the most. And in him, he looks at us and he sees Jesus, his forgiveness, his mercy, his sacrifice over our lives. This can change your life. You start to believe that you're loved. You start to believe you're chosen. You start to believe you're forgiven. That's going to change how you interact with people at work. It will start to determine the kinds of people you attract into your life. Some of you are single. You're praying that God will bring the right person into your life. And everywhere you look, every time, God brings somebody into your life, but it's nobody you want to take home to meet the parents, you know. They bring somebody into your life, but you're like, why do I keep attracting these people? Listen, the most powerful thing that you and I can start doing is allowing God to change our heart by allowing him to change how we see ourselves. And you start seeing yourself as loved already. You start seeing yourselves as chosen already. You start seeing yourself as forgiven already. Listen, you're going to start attracting the kind of person who's looking for that, because you're going to be overflowing that. Some of you are like, well, I'm already married and there's no hope. What do I do now? No, there's always hope, even for me, even for you. It means that we all start looking at how we can see ourselves as loved and chosen and forgiven. And Paul uses other words like adopted. We have an inheritance. God has spiritually provided for us. And it changes how we begin to live. You can't change another person, but you can allow God to lovingly influence them through your life. So you look in the mirror this week. Even if it's zombie status, remember, you have the Christmas bonus of every spiritual blessing. Maybe some of you want to take a marker, go home, and write on the bathroom mirror, I'm loved, I'm chosen, I'm forgiven. And just remind yourself every morning, This is who God says I am. I am blessed with every spiritual blessing. Maybe you're here today. Maybe you have not yet crossed the line of faith. I want to give you that opportunity. The Bible says these are some of the spiritual blessings that are available to you when you come to believe and trust in Jesus. So I want to ask everybody to bow your heads and close your eyes. If you'd like to become a follower of Jesus today, you can begin that journey by just repeating a simple prayer after me, either out loud or in your own heart and mind. Just say, dear God, I thank you for loving me. Thank you for sending Jesus into the world. I believe he died on the cross for my sins. I believe you rose again. Forgive me for my sins. Give me the gift of eternal life. Help me face the challenges that I'm up against. God, I surrender my life to you. In Christ's name. Friends, with every head bowed and every eye closed, if that's your prayer today, if it's your commitment, I want to ask you to just slip your hand in the air. Just make eye contact with me, just to say before God, to say to me, you're going to trust him in your life today. God bless you guys. Thank you guys. Thank you guys. God bless you. Thank you. Thank you. Let's reach out to him today. Thank you. Bless you guys. Thank you. Thank you. God, we love you. I thank you for each person reaching out to you, trusting you right now. I pray you'll move in their life. Forgive, heal, restore, empower. May we all follow you in faith and walk in all the blessings that you have already provided for us. We give you praise in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, hey, thanks for joining us today. If you enjoyed this podcast, there are a couple of things that I'd love for you to do. Make sure to subscribe and review this podcast and connect with us on social media by following at Central Online. You can also contribute to what God is doing through Central. You can simply visit centralchurch.online/give and you can give a gift today. And thanks again for joining us on the Central Church Podcast.